Our scripture reading is taken from Psalm 103, beginning with verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Imagine for a moment that the day you were born, as you came out of the womb, there was a dark veil placed over your head, wrapped around your entire head, covering your eyes so you couldn't see anything, blinding you from recognizing and knowing and seeing what was real and what was true. And underneath that dark covering, you were ignorant of what reality really was, and ignorant of what the world was really about. That's sort of a picture for us of what it's like spiritually when we come into this world. We are spiritually blind, covered with a veil of darkness and ignorance, not really recognizing God and understanding the things of God, and not really knowing and understanding the eternal nature of life. And it's easy for us, even today, to slip back underneath that black veil, that black covering, and return back to ignorance about our lives, and to forget just how passing and transitory this life truly is. The psalm in front of us, in this psalm, God has King David lift the veil for us, remove that black covering from our eyes, permitting us now to see in reality what the nature of this life truly is. And the first sight that we see is terrifying. The first sight that we have about this world and this life is terrifying. It's interesting that if you look at these verses before us, God gives us two of the most insignificant elements in nature, a blade of grass and a flower, and uses that to depict your life and my life, to depict this world and life that we live in. That we can get all caught up in and think is so big and fantastic and there's so much to deal with it and so on. And God takes out the littlest blade of grass. Every time you clean out your mower, that's how insignificant this life is. In fact, when you truly contemplate eternity and the length of eternity compared to this life, you would have to say that God's comparison of that to this life as if this life is like a blade of grass, even that is generous. Who among us sitting here today or standing, who among us during the next 12 months in this new year will begin the process of having our bodies return back to their native element of dust? Oh, it couldn't possibly be me. How many people in the past year thought that at the beginning of last year's new year? Everything in this world, including our bodies, everything has a calendar to it, has an odometer to it, whether we realize it or not. And that is a terrifying thought that sometimes makes people want to just go back and pull that dark veil back over their heads. It's easier to live in ignorance. Our text says about this life, the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. I remember a number of years ago, in the early years of my time in the ministry, I went to meet with a lady who had become very delinquent in her church attendance, and her husband, who was not a member of the church, happened to be sitting at the kitchen table while I was talking to her, and he was overhearing our conversation. And he finally came out into the living room, and he said, "You know, if the church put a little more time and energy into things that were really relevant and mattered in people's lives, then I think you'd get a lot more people coming to church." And I said, "Well, like what?" And he said, well, if you could help me figure out how to pay my taxes this year or help my child go to college and pay for his tuition, that would be something helpful that the church could do. And I said, well, what if I could teach you how to be a millionaire in a week? And yet you died a week later. How would that really help you? And he said, ah, that's ridiculous. This world tempts us to come back under the cover of the veil and to live in ignorance and to view this life as so big and so grand and so important and to forget the eternal aspect of our souls. And it's ironic that the church in this world is thought to be and often ridiculed for being out of touch with reality when, ironically, the exact opposite is really true. The world wants us to come back and live under the cover of darkness. And so as God lifts this veil off of us through his word and in the psalm, the first thing that we see is something that terrifies us. But before we shrivel and run away and run back under that cover of darkness, our text continues. God holds up in stark contrast to this terrifying thought about our lives and the quickness of them. God holds up now in stark contrast to that this wonderful vision and view of life. And he directs us toward his precious, wonderful gospel in Christ and his mercy. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Just rest on that line for a moment. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. God goes into the darkest, the deepest recesses of the past, and then goes as far as possible into the future and speaks about his transcendent mercy that covers all of this. In essence, what he's doing is this. To the faithful in Christ, he's reminding us of our election that was in his mercy as far back in the past as you can go, before the creation of the world. That very election that will preserve us through this life, through death, through the resurrection, on into eternity, where there is no time. God takes us, and as soon as we are terrified, having that veil lifted with the thought of the suddenness of this life, he immediately takes us to his precious gospel and points us to the one thing that is bigger and stronger than us, than life, than death, than the judgment, than sin, than the devil, than hell itself, and that is himself and his mercy in Christ. And notice that as soon as God has this veil lifted to show us the reality of the passing nature of this life, David takes us right away to Bethlehem to see the Christ child, because here is God's mercy in this little package, who has come to atone for every one of your sins and mine, who has come to deliver God's merciful love to each one of us, to forgive us our sins, to give us the promise of everlasting life and the hope of heaven. And so God rushes to your side and places his gentle hands on you through his word and lifts you up, blesses you and forgives you and promises you heaven that you receive simply by faith. And so in this new year, God would have you and me live with the veil removed to see the real nature of this life, but more importantly, to see the wonders of his mercy and grace and how important those things are for us. We just sang the two verses of that great hymn, "In Jesus' name our work must all be done." When it's in Jesus' name that our work is done, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in our vocation in life, in our relationships, when our work in this life is done in the name of Christ, the merciful name of Christ, then alone does it have purpose, then alone does it have any lasting quality, and then alone will it have the blessing of the Lord. And so in this brand new semester, in this brand new year, may God grant you and me the eyes of faith to look out from underneath the veil of darkness and ignorance of this world and to see the true nature of this life but also the wonderful nature of his mercy in Christ. Amen. Please rise. I invite you now to turn to page 149 in the front portion of your hymn book, page 149. We will use prayer number 17 together in unison. Almighty and everlasting God, from whom comes down every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks for all your benefits, temporal and spiritual, bestowed upon us in the year past, and we beseech you of your goodness, grant us a favorable and joyful year, defend us from all dangers and adversities, and send upon us the fullness of your blessing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.